King Rambar style San Bernardino. If you get hip to this kind of trip, are you hip? And take that California trip. Get your kicks on Route 66.
LJ Delta version, LJ Delta style down here at WSCA. We're with Redhead Spins the Blues for another hour, and we've got you live here in the studio for another hour. What would you say your musical influences are? And I'll just define influence as anything that inspires you. We don't have to be able to necessarily hear it in your music, but if it fires you up, it's an influence.
Yeah. Well, I would say definitely Chuck Berry. And also Chuck Berry a la the Beatles, because, you know, at the I think it was the same time I heard the Beatles versions of like Roll Over Beethoven and Chuck Berry's version, and then I started collecting some of his stuff too. But I would say that that's a big one in my playing, and I really wanted to learn all those Chuck Berry licks, and that sort of opened up a big area for me, because then I went back and I said, wow, well, Chuck Berry just took these blues licks and he just sped them up. And you know, you go back and you listen to people like T-Bone Walker, and you see that that's basically what he did. And in fact, he got a lot of his shtick from T-Bone Walker. I mean, the split with the legs and the way he holds his guitar. I mean, I have a picture on a T-Bone Walker set that you could put Chuck Berry's head on him and you would swear it was him. So, you know, he got that. I would say songwriting, I would say Hank Williams. I would like to say Robert Johnson for kind of some of the content that I write about, and also maybe some of the playing, but you know, I'm not going to be so bold as to say that. I mean, the guy had fingers that were like a half a mile long. I'm not so, but I think,
yeah, I mean, I was gonna say that's not every, yeah,
I think those are the people really, you know, I mean, I played. There was a point in my 20s where I was touring with a rock band that was like a 60s girl group almost, where there was three guys and then three female vocalists, Nikki and the Corvettes. They were from Detroit, and I was playing bass with the band, and we traveled all over the world. And, you know, I really love that music. I love Phil Spector and the Ronettes and the Shangri-Las and, you know, Shadow Morton's stuff. And Did some work for the New York Dolls and played with Johnny Thunders for a while in a little offshoot kind of thing that he had when I was living in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And so, I mean, I've been exposed to a lot of stuff, and, you know, most of it I really like. I mean, I can see good in anything that's good music, but I don't necessarily like everything.
Right.
You know.
Right. Yeah, especially working at a radio station, you come to appreciate lots of different genres of music that you hadn't explored because there's so much around you.
Yeah. I like kind of the trashier end of country music and the stuff that was produced in the 60s especially. Yeah.
The trashier stuff seems more authentic.
Well, it is. I mean, they never, you know, it's not like anybody went into a studio and took one track and then said, okay, you're all done, and then manufactured the rest or something. You know, I have a couple of friends that are in Nashville. One is the guitar player with Nikki and the Corvettes, and the other is a drummer named Kathy Berkeley. In fact, I talked to her last night. And fabulous drummer that I played with in Boston, and she went to Nashville, and I guess one of the really good gigs that she's gotten recently is played a bunch of dates with Wanda Jackson, and Wanda Jackson has a new album with Jack White out, which I'm hoping we're going to get. So he's sort of following in, like, I made an album with Loretta Lynn, now I want to make one with Wanda Jackson. Wanda Jackson was like almost like the female Elvis back then. I mean, she was the wild rockabilly woman. The only one now that's doing anything like what she did probably is like Rosie Flores, who's great too. So I really liked all that rockabilly stuff. I loved Danny Gatton. You know, I mean, he was amazing, and you know, it's so sad that Danny Gatton and Billy Joe Shaver's son Eddie Shaver, great guitar players, one died of an overdose, the other shot himself. I mean, it's
isn't that the way
it's
of musicians?
Yeah.
We lose so many.
In fact, I think Danny Gatton had the 27 curse, too, if I'm not mistaken.
What is the 27 curse?
Robert Johnson. Jim Morrison.
Oh, everybody age 27.
Janis Joplin, Hendrix, Kurt Cobain.
Oh, wow.
I think in fact, I'm not sure, but I think there's a page called the 27 Club.
So if you're a musician out there and you're listening, just take that year off. Chill out that year.
It's called the 27 Club, and I think there's a web page for it something.
Well, I was thinking about, since it's Monday, asking you to play Stormy Monday. Although it's not really stormy out there. We get a couple clouds,
but
it's
not bad. I like Stormy
Monday.
All right.
Stormy Monday it is?
All right. That's a T-Bone Walker tune. All right. They call it Stormy Monday, but Tuesday's just as bad. Stormy Monday, but Tuesday's just as bad. Wednesday's a heartbreak. Thursday's oh so sad. The eagle flies on Friday, and Saturday I go out to play. The eagle flies on Friday, and Saturday I go out to play. Sunday I go to church, get down on my knees and pray. Lord have mercy on me. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. Somebody help me find my baby. Somebody please. Somebody please. Somebody please. Send her home to me.
Woo! I like what you did with the ending of that. There's some cool stuff there.
Thank you.
That was Stormy Monday.
Yeah.
And all right, LJ. And I ask this to every band, but this is just an entertain myself question. I like asking this. What was your? And I give, if you have any older siblings or parents out there listening, I give them veto power to call in if they remember something else. But what was your first favorite song as a small child or toddler? The first song that you grooved to or became obsessed with as a kid? I get really funny answers on this. Be honest.
I'm trying. Let me tell you. I'm trying to push together four brain cells that are left and see if they'll make a
connection. That you remember.
The earliest that I remember. Well, the funny thing is the earliest music that sticks out for me that I remember, actually, 1964, watching the Beatles on Ed Sullivan do She Loves You.
All right.
Okay. So, I mean,
yeah.
I heard other stuff on a little record player that we had that played, it was like one of those little suitcase things, but it was one of the first electrics that actually played 45s, 33s, and 78s.
Oh, wow.
And I heard other music. I mean, my father had records that, you know, I would grab them and listen to them, and everything from big band swing to Western swing to, and then eventually I got my own. I think I probably bought the singles around, you know, 6-7 years old. I was buying singles in a music store.
Oh, that's
for
not
about
bad. That's a good allowance
you
were pulling
each.
In there.
Yeah. So.
Well, let's hear the Nursery Rhyme Blues.
Oh, okay. All right. This is sort of a semi-original. I mean, I'm not exactly sure who first wrote the lyrics, but okay, here we go. Well, Jack and Jill went up a hill, fetch a pail of water.
Jack went down and broke his crown, and Jill came tumbling down.
Well, Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. Well, old King Cole was a merry old soul, and a merry old soul was he. And he called for his fife, and he called for his drum, and he called for his fiddlers three. She sat on a tuffet, eating the curds and whey. And along came a spider and sat down beside her, scared Miss Muffet away.
Now at this point, I tell the story. Do you have any idea how Mary Had a Little Lamb was written? Well, when I told you I had that other career, I was working at an institution of behavioral health down in Massachusetts, and supposedly one of the best on the seacoast. So when people aren't thinking so right, sometimes they would go there. It was called McLean Hospital. And anyway, previous to that, it was called McLean Asylum. I think that was around the turn of the century, maybe even previous to that. And there was a psychiatric nurse there who was dating a Harvard medical student. And the medical student seemed to be a little bit of a poet. Guess what the nurse's name was?
Nurse Ratchet.
Mary. And she came from Lexington, Massachusetts to Belmont, Massachusetts every day. They're next to each other, so it's not that long a walk. And there was a little lamb who literally followed her. And McLean was a teaching hospital. Mary had a little lamb, fleece was on snow. And everywhere that Mary went, her lamb was sure to go.
There's about eight more verses, but the thing is, I figured I would just...
You gotta stop. So what? Okay, I'm sorry. What were you gonna say?
I was just gonna say I got this idea that I would look in like nursery rhyme books and whatever. I don't know, Mother Goose or whatever.
A lot of them revolve in morbid ways. You know, like Ring Around the Rosie. I mean, just morbid things become kids' songs. I never realized that. I actually read the book Girl Interrupted.
Yep.
And the book was much better than the movie. But that's McLean Hospital. Yep, it's featured in that book. And then there was some famous musician who probably several, but there was one. What were you going to say?
Yeah, I was going to say that there's several. There's a book actually out called Gracefully Insane. And it goes into chapters on writers who were the big ones in the 20s, people like Eugene O'Neill and, you know, other Sylvia Plath and other people. And then you get to what's called hippiephrenia, which is the 60s, where you had people
You could be institutionalized.
Like James Taylor and Livingston.
James Taylor, that's
James,
what I was
James, Livingston, Huey, Alex, the whole Taylor family was there, basically. There. Yeah.
Did you meet any of those people while you were there?
Well, not while I was there, because I was there in 96.
Right.
I was there in 95, 96, 97, 98, 99.
Okay.
That was like my first internship, and that turned into a job, actually.
Yeah.
And but I am close to Livingston.
Right.
And
that's cool.
And James actually write. I mean, I do a version of Fire and Rain, and James wrote that at McLean, and he wrote that in the detox.
In the
McLean.
Detox,
yeah.
I mean, it would be kind of hard to have someone that you knew, especially if you knew their music in advance, if they were already established and admired them as a musician, to have them as a patient. Because I mean, I would just be tempted to be, okay, enough about problem. Can you play this song?
Well,
you know,
the funny thing is, I did music therapy groups there, and every once in a while, there were people who came in who were pros out on the road. They weren't like the most notable people that you've ever heard of, but the thing is, they did come in, and they were touring musicians, and it was great because they did have time there to play and express themselves. And I did a music therapy group that was a songwriting group once a week there.
Oh, great.
So I really enjoyed that. And, you know, they thought I was crazy because I'd get a bunch of people detoxing from, you know, heroin, OxyContin, alcohol, whatever. And they'd be lying there in pain. And I'd be telling them, and at the end of this hour, we're going to have a song written. And they'd look at me and they'd go, yeah, right. You know, and I'd be up there getting ideas from them and everything. Okay, ideas. Okay, here's a few lines we can mix with these ideas.
Right, right.
A simple blues or country song. By the end of the hour, they're singing it.
Yeah. And the great thing about music therapy, and this is true of any arts therapy, is that you don't have to be talented in any degree for it to be therapeutic.
Right.
It just feels great.
Yeah.
You know? Good stuff. Well, so I just want to, your band couldn't be here today because, of course, it's in the middle of a Monday.
Yeah.
And so we don't have the Lonesome Wolves. We just got LJ Delta. And we're happy we got LJ Delta. But I was going to ask you, how did you meet the rest of your band? How did you guys come to play together?
Well, before LJ Delta and the Lonesome Wolves, there was a band in Boston called the Ashcan Fools. And so the drummer from LJ Delta and the former bass player from LJ Delta were part of the Ashcan Fools, which originally it started with me writing a bunch of other songs with a guy who was an actor and a singer. And he was kind of into, I guess if you cross Tom Waits with Jim Morrison, you might get something like him.
Yeah.
And he was also into kind of German cabaret music, Kurt Weill and that kind of stuff. So and a lot of the stuff was about his childhood, and it was pretty brutal. But it was all, my music was all blues and country influenced. So it was sort of like we took the starting of his poetry, and we kind of tweaked it, and he and I would get together and work out these. And at one point, we had a two-man show going on where we played in a couple of theaters in New York. He and I, you know, it was like costumes and everything. And I was like a street musician. He played his father,
Oh, wow.
Yeah, which was kind of
that's therapeutic.
Creepy.
Right there.
So we got the three musicians that were behind him for that. Now, when he left and was no longer doing that band, I decided that I wanted to do what I always wanted to do. It was put together a band that played the kind of music that I really, really liked, and that was country and rockabilly and blues. And so I started writing more songs, and I used a few of the songs. Like Drunk Driving Blues was originally from the Ashcan Fools.
Okay.
And but it was my story. It wasn't, you know, it could have, certainly could have happened to his father, too. But
I'm sure it's happened to many people.
And so the drummer is still playing with me today. Unfortunately, the bass player actually died of a very, very strange infection that they could not even cure in a hospital.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, and it was really sad. And then the bass player that I've been playing with for a while, Trish English, was playing with the Funky Divas for a while.
That's a great name.
And she left them and has been playing with me.
Okay. I'm going to make a quick announcement here. And then after that, I was wondering if... God, there's so many songs that I'm trying to fit in. I have LJ up until the quarter of the hour, and I got to do some other stuff after that. But I was wondering if I could get you to do maybe two songs in a row just so we can have some more live stuff, like Baby,
All right.
What You Want Me to Do, and whatever song that would segue into well. I don't know. Shaky Jane. It's up to you.
Actually, Shaky Jake would be good. But I have to down-tune for that. But Shaky Jake and Survive would be good because they're both down-tuned.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Okay.
All right.
Should I tell you, the Seacoast Lyme Disease Support Group meets on the second Tuesday of each month at 6 p.m. at the Durham Public Library. Learn about Lyme and other tick-borne diseases and how to protect yourself. Meetings will be canceled if the weather is inclement. And now we're going to... Which order are you doing it? Are you doing Survive first?
No, I'll start with Shaky Jake.
Shaky Jake. We're going to hear Shaky Jake and then Struggle to Survive.
So Shaky Jake was a... Shaky Jake Woods was a character in Ann Arbor, Michigan that I met in the late 70s, and I used to go to this bar called Dooley's and drink 10-cent beers with him on Friday afternoons. Imagine 10-cent beers.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
That was dangerous.
Yeah.
And Shaky would carry his guitar and... He picture an old black man with sunglasses, black sunglasses, you can't see through them, a fur coat, some kind of hat with a pork pie hat or something with a bunch of feathers coming out of it, and a guitar that he carried around all over the place. Now, at that point, I don't know whether it was his brain or whatever, but... He didn't play very well, but he certainly had a lot of heart and a lot of soul. And he told a lot of stories. And at one point in the 60s, he was a big act in the Ann Arbor Blues and Jazz Festival.
All right.
So I liked him, and everybody sort of took care of him. We're not really sure whether he was homeless or not, but he kind of stayed with people.
Gotcha.
You know.
Gotcha. Shake it.
Shuffling down the street, smiling and laughing.
frequented Dooley's bar, where he'd tell some stories and strum his guitar. Shaky was born about 1910, and he lived in Michigan ever since then. He's a local legend who's got a name that you'll never see in the Blues Hall of Fame.
That's what he used to say all the time. Can't talk, I'm on the move. I'm going to Dooley's, my playhouse. All right. Now my, I think this is the, well, maybe, oh, the Blue Dog Blues is kind of sad, but this is my only real sad personal experience song. And it's called Struggle to Survive. I drink the morning coffee, I drink the afternoon tea. What comes in between don't make a hell of a lot of difference to me. It's such a struggle to survive. It's just a struggle to survive. I take it one moment at a time just to stay alive. Sometimes my mind is aching, sometimes my body is sore. I got so much anger in me, I just wanna settle the score. It's such a struggle It's such a struggle to survive. I take it one moment at a time just to stay alive. Thank you.
just to stay alive. It don't really matter to me, not for very much long. I don't let it bother me, even though it's still wrong. It's such a struggle. Such a struggle to survive. I take it one moment at a time just to stay alive. I take it one moment at a time just to stay alive. I take it one moment at a time just to stay alive. Hey!
Delta, ladies and gentlemen, and kind of get toward the end here. People who've been listening to all or any of the show and want to get the Eat or Be Eaten CD, can they order that somewhere?
They can just email me.
Okay.
At Delta L J N at Netscape.net.
Okay.
Delta L J N at Netscape.net. And I will send one right out to you.
He will be right on it. And, of course, you can see him live along with the Sugar Shack Grass Band at the Second Christian Congregational Church. That's the benefit we were talking about earlier. And you can go, and actually they're looking for people to play and to attend, and it's Saturday, February 13th, Valentine's Day weekend, from 6:30 to 9:30 at night. So if you're looking for a hot date on Valentine's Day weekend, check that out.
Yeah, cheap date.
Kittery. Hey? Cheap. Not so hot date. Not sure yet date.
They'll have all kinds of sugar. They do.
People, you might meet someone else.
The people from the church bake all kinds of stuff, and
there you go.
Sit there and drink coffee and eat desserts.
Yeah, it's gonna a lot of good music though. It's hard to have a bad time when there's good music going on. So check that out on Saturday the 13th. And we're kind of running up toward the end here. I love your music.
Oh,
and,
thank you.
And my instinct is always to cram as much music as I can in. So my coworkers like make me stick to I get everything like out so we can set up time. So I'm trying to wrap it up to get the next show in here. The next show actually is Seacoast Scene, which is a show that I host every other Monday and Terry Blake hosts on alternate Mondays, is having an interview with Marky Ramone of the Ramones.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So you want to stay tuned for that. That's going to start around 3. I'm not sure exactly when the interview is, but the show is from 3 to 5, and I think the interview is toward the beginning of the show.
So who's doing the interview?
Terry Blake is doing the interview with Marky Ramone.
I actually have a Marky Ramone story, but I won't tell it now.
No. Well, call in during his show. He'd be a guest on everyone's.
Yeah,
but I was going to ask if we could kind of like, because you know how long your songs are, I was going to ask if we could do like maybe one or two songs that are about 6 minutes total that'll bring us up to a quarter of. I like Baby What You Want Me to Do, but I know Folsom Prison Blues must be pretty rocking because it's the last song on your list.
Well, it's the Johnny Cash, but if you want to hear that, but I put something else in there. Actually, when we do it, we call it Folsom Wizard Blues.
All right then.
All right, so I'm gonna put that in, but I'm gonna do it a little more bluesy.
Okay.
All right, because usually I would do it the. That's good. I got to retune.
Got to retune. So this has been a Redhead Spins of Blues. I'm with you for another 20 minutes here, and I am a blues show, and I'm going to call her in. Hang on just 1 second here. Are you ready to kind of slide into that now? I'm going to pick up this phone call.
Sure.
Okay.
I hear that train a-coming, coming round the bend. I've seen the daylight since I don't know when. I'm stuck in frozen prison, and time keeps dragging on. And I hear them train a rolling on down to San Antonio. I know there's rich folks sitting up in the fancy dining cars, probably drinking coffee and smoking cigars. I knew I had it coming. I know I can't be free. But them people keep a moving, and that's what tortures me.
So enter Pete Townsend.
Ever since I was a young boy, I played that silver ball. So down to Brighton, I must have played them all. But I ain't seen nothing like him any amusement hall. Well, that deaf, dumb, and blind boy sure plays a mean pinball. Well, he stands like a statue for the machine. Always hits the bumpers and always playing clean. He plays by intuition. The digit counters fall. That deaf, dumb, and blind kid sure plays a mean pinball. If that railroad train was mine, bet I'd move it a little farther down the line. Far from Folsom Prison, that's where I want to go. And I'd let that lonesome whistle blow my blues away.
That is fun stuff. So that is, you call that Folsom Wizard Folsom Prison Blues? Blues.
That's actually on the CD.
All right.
Yeah,
all
it's revved up. Johnny Cash version with the twang to it.
That's good.
This is my I prepared that one specifically for you though. I kind of slowed it down and made it a little more sultry.
All right, so you get that on Redhead Spins the Blues Show, our own original versions. Actually, I can give you another 5 minutes. We had a caller that I had something I was going to do with who's having a really hard day at work. And do you want to try and squeeze in one more that's a 5-minute, or do you want to go out with that? I was going to also play, for the last time, I was going to play some tracks off your Eat or Be Eaten, if you'd like. So you can do that.
All right. Well, I'll play one more. I want to play Thor. I like all playing Thor because Thor was my cat.
Thor was your cat?
Yes.
Was your cat?
Yes, was.
I think I see where this is going.
The big letter box in the sky. Huh? Not close enough for rock and roll. Well, we went down to that, to MSPCA, where they keep all them animals that nobody wants. And we said, we want to get us a cat. A big cat. And we found one there, and on the outside of the cage it said, Fluffy. Well, we took him home, and we gave him his real cat name. Thor. Thor is a black and white cat, how about that? Thor is a black and white cat, how about that? He runs up and down through the house, he runs all around like he's seen a mouse. Thor is a black and white cat, how about that? Thor is a black and white cat, how about that? Thor is a black and white cat, how about that? He sits on the table like he owns the place. The dog walks by and he swats him in the face. Thor is a black and white cat, how about that? Walk it down, Thor. Black and white cat, how about that? Thor is a black and white cat, how about that? He scratches at the chairs, scratches at the couch, scratches at the people. Ouch, ouch, ouch. Thor is a black and white cat, how about that? Well, at almost 18 years old, Thor went up to meet his maker and to look for Hank the dog, who was his best friend back then. 115-pound Malamute, who also lived to be about that age. Thor is a black and white cat, how about that? Thor is a black and white cat, how about that? He went up to heaven to take his place. He saw Hank the dog and he licked him in the face. Thor is a black and white cat, how about that? Thor is a black and white cat, how about that? Thor is a black and white cat, how about that? Well, there you have it.
Okay. We got a caller here.
A caller?
And the caller's saying that the cat was only 10. Thinking this might be someone you know.
I think that might be my wife.
Your wife. Yeah, okay. Yeah, all right. Yeah. Hang on just 1 second here.
Yeah.
Your wife hung
up. She didn't hear me say that he was 27 pounds and had a head the size of a softball either.
Right. So, were you exaggerating a little bit there or no?
never exaggerate.
All right. Thank you so much for coming down and playing.
Well, thank you.
I have had a great time talking to you, and your music is great. Right. And I'm going to play, I'm thinking of playing Rat Gut Whiskey.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, play that. I didn't get to do that, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to play that, and this is off the CD Eat or Be Eaten, LJ Delta. You can order that, on. You can email him, and say your email address one more time for us.
Delta, LJN at Netscape.net. Delta LJN at Netscape.net. And listen to my program Under the Radar tonight at 8 p.m. to 10 p.m.
It's going
to
be a red theme. Songs
red
that have to do with the color red.
That's right.
So there you go. All right. This is Rat Gut Whiskey from Eat or Be Eaten. Be sure and stay tuned. This has been A Redhead Spins the Blues. Seacoast Scene is coming up with an interview with Marky Ramone.
I saw them drinking. Americans. Ache it or leave it each time. Well, I belong to the generation, but I can take it or leave it each time.
Right there, Michael Graves with The House.
Yep.
And that's off Return to Earth. And before that was Blank Generation from Richard Hell and the Voidoids. Marky Ramone's second band. He was in Dust first. And we'll play some Dust later. We're going to be talking to Marky on the top of the hour. So get ready for that. We're psyched! Woo!
Yes!
Oh, it's going to be awesome. And but now let's tell you what you're doing. You are listening to WSCA LP 106.1 FM Portsmouth Community Radio, and you're tuned in to the Seacoast Scene. I'm Terry. I got Sarah in today, hanging out with me. Picked her up from school. So we gotta get to some music, and then we're gonna talk with Marky Ramone about his Marky Ramone Blitzkrieg. Shows coming up at Tupelo Music Hall in Londonderry.
Yes.
And Salisbury Friday and Saturday. So if you ain't got your tickets yet, get them, because
hurry up.
Marky Ramone, legendary drummer of the Ramones. Michael Graves, lead singer. Misfits, old lead singer.
Yes.
And Clear Product and Alex Kane from Anti-Pro.